Praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2. So beginning in verse 1, where we started last week, the Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Oh, sorry, that's Titus. Didn't sound right. Hebrews 2. Sorry about that. "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." So I'm going to entitle the message, "Confirmed." Confirmed. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in our hearts tonight. Lord, that each of us would just focus on hearing from you, and that our hearts would be ready, and that the Holy Spirit would have free course in this service and use the powerful word in our lives. And we give you this service and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we talked about we won't escape if we neglect our salvation, that God, as our Father, will deal with us. This is written to Christians. But then, as he says there in verse 3, where we finished last week, he says, at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. So the Lord Jesus Christ brought something new. He brought salvation by grace, through faith, by trusting in him. As he told Nicodemus there in John 3, you must be born again. They had never heard about that before. If you would look at John chapter 1, the Bible tells us that Jesus brought in a new age. Now this, as we studied in our dispensations class, this was a gradual change to go from law to grace. But Jesus Christ introduced this change. Notice John 1:17, the Bible says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So the law was the dispensation prior to Christ, and Jesus Christ brought in grace and truth. And the Bible says salvation, which is so great, praise God, at first began to be spoken by Jesus Christ, but then verse 3, it says it was confirmed. That's a key word. In understanding what we read about in verse 4, the signs and the wonders and the miracles, it helps us to get an understanding of the purpose of those signs and wonders and miracles. And that was, as we will see, to confirm the message from the disciples. Now, he specifically points out, verse 3, "confirmed unto us by them that heard him." So he's specifically referring to people that physically were on the earth and heard Jesus Christ speak while he was here bodily. He's saying those particular people heard him, and those are the people that confirmed the message with the signs and the wonders and the miracles. This is key. Now, when we talk about the miracles, it's very interesting when you start studying it in the Scriptures, how few people actually worked miracles in the New Testament. People have this misconception that it was hundreds of people, but it wasn't. Matter of fact, there were the 12 disciples, Jesus, and 4 other people, and that's it. So, from what you can tell by studying the Scriptures, 17 people in the New Testament, 17 men in the New Testament worked miracles. And that's it. Even John the Baptist didn't work a miracle. We're told that in John chapter 10. He said he worked no miracle. So John the Baptist, who introduced Jesus, who preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," never worked a miracle. And the only ones who worked miracles were Jesus, the 12 disciples, and then 4 other men. And those 4 other men were, of course, Stephen, Philip, and then Paul and Barnabas. And all of those 4 men, well, except maybe Paul, had hands laid on them by the disciples, essentially passing on the gift. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's a special case, as we all know. He did hear Christ, but not while he was in his bodily form. Christ, he spent a year and a half in the backside of the desert with Jesus, learning about this age so that he could teach it to us. But each of these, if you go to Acts 6, in Acts 13, we'll see that each of these other four men did have the hands laid on them by the disciples, the original 12 disciples, which of course Paul became the 12th when Judas fell. But notice Acts 6:6, the Bible says here, when they set before the apostles, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now that would have included Stephen and Philip, who were two of the original first deacons there at the church in Jerusalem. So the disciples laid hands on these first deacons, seven men. And then also if you go to Acts 13, we'll see where Paul and Barnabas, who are the other two men that worked miracles outside of the disciples, the original disciples, had hands laid on them as well. Notice Acts 13, verse 3, the Bible says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, who was this? Verse 2, Barnabas and Saul. So there's your four men outside the disciples that worked miracles. You know, the Bible says the Jews require a sign in 1 Corinthians 1:22. God allowed the disciples to work these sign gifts or utilize these sign gifts, work these miracles to confirm what? Their witness, as we see there in verse 4. God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders and divers miracles. So it was for a special purpose to confirm what they preached. Because remember, the New Testament wasn't written during this time that they were working these miracles. So if they came to a city, or they started a church, or they came to preach in a church, or whatever, and they got up and said, thus saith the Lord, people would listen to what they had to say because they knew that that person had just been out healing everybody on the street or had raised someone from the dead, as we see happened in the book of Acts, and worked these amazing miracles. The people would say, I'm going to hear what this person has to say, because obviously they're from God because they work in these miracles. You don't read in the scriptures where they had healing meetings and where people went away unhealed. But you do find in the scriptures many times the phrase everyone was healed or all, because if you had the gift of healing, everybody got healed. You didn't have people walk away and say, oh, well, they didn't have enough faith. That's just not in the scriptures. Because it wasn't about the person's faith, it was about the person's gift who was doing the healing. If you had the gift of healing, then you healed, and you healed everybody. So these, if you go to 2 Corinthians 12, these are what we would call the signs of an apostle. And we'll explain it more here in a few moments. They were given to confirm testimony of the apostles until the word was completed. Notice 2 Corinthians 12:12. The Apostle Paul speaking, it says, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So isn't it interesting? Paul refers to them as the signs of an apostle, these sign gifts. Well, the apostles are physically all dead and gone. And so are the signs of an apostle. The reason for that is because the word doesn't need confirmed anymore because it's finished. And again, we'll see more. Now go to Acts 5, if you would, and I just want to show you a couple of scriptures real quick. Again, that these miracles and sign gifts were performed by these 16 men outside of Christ. Notice it says Acts 5:12, and by the hands of who? The apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. So there's that word apostles again. Now if you will go to Acts 9 and verse 40, I will just quickly show you a couple things. Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, rise. And when she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. So Peter raised this girl from the dead. I'd say that's a pretty amazing miracle, wouldn't you? Everybody was bemoaning her, bewailing her death, and Peter comes along and ruins the funeral by bringing her back to life. Now, if you go to Acts 19, so that's an example from Peter's ministry. Remember, the first 12 chapters of Acts are about Peter, and then the last 16 chapters of Acts are about Paul. Here in Acts 19, we have something that happened in Paul's interesting ministry. Notice verse 11, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Now this is an amazing miracle when you think about it. So many people were there to be healed. Paul couldn't get to all of them in one go. So they actually would bring in an apron or handkerchief, and Paul would touch that piece of cloth, and then they would take that piece of cloth and touch it to people, and their diseases were healed. Now, people have tried to duplicate this, you know, some of these big names over the past 50 years, unfortunately most of them in the States, who claim to have all these amazing powers, and if you send them $100, they'll send you a handkerchief that this guy prayed over, and when you get the handkerchief, you're going to be healed. You can probably guess how many actually got healed, and people that never walked, people that never could see or made to see, people that never walked were made to walk. You can imagine how many of that happened because of those handkerchiefs. But I just wanted to show you that this was an amazing time. And these were for a purpose, and that was to confirm. Now, just a couple more scriptures. Go to Mark 16. Now, this is a very well-known passage for most of us because it talks about preaching the gospel. But the two verses after that, Baptists often try to ignore that they're there because they were for a special time. Notice verse 15. We know this very well. Mark 16:15. "He said unto them, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Verse 17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Here's that word again. And confirming the word with signs following. What signs? He just gave them to us. Verse 17. These signs are going to follow these apostles. And what's the purpose of the signs? Verse 21. To confirm the word. Which is exactly what we're reading here in Hebrews chapter 2. To confirm the word. For example, tongues, which is the most popular sign gift of the day, thanks to the Pentecostal movement. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14:22, tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So the purpose of tongues was to be a sign to unbelievers. Because if somebody came up to you who only spoke English and you only spoke Romanian and they started preaching the gospel and you understood it, you would think, wow, that's pretty amazing. Exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. The gift of tongues was given to break language barriers so people could hear the gospel in their own language. All these Jews showed up for the Pentecost celebration who had been living in other places and couldn't speak Hebrew anymore. And so God broke these language barriers, and what's the point? 3,000 people got saved. That's the point. The Pentecostals want to make the point that they spoke in tongues. No, the point is people getting saved. Amen? And that was the purpose of all the gifts, was so that people could have the word confirmed and get saved. And that tongues is a classic example of that. So these gifts, and there's seven of them, by the way, because the Bible tells us that there are actually 20 gifts of the Holy Ghost. Seven of them were sign gifts. And were for this temporary time to confirm the word, just as we read in Matthew 16 and Hebrews 2, to confirm the word. So what are the seven? Healing, miracles, prophecy. There are people that teach prophecy still alive today. But if it is, then that means the word's not finished. Because when a prophet got up to speak and said, "Thus saith the Lord," there was somebody, there was a scribe there writing it down, and it got added to the Bible. Discerning of spirits, this was a special miracle gift that some of the apostles had, where they could actually know that this person isn't really of God. They had an extra supernatural ability to say, "Yeah, I see that they're trying to speak in tongues or they're doing whatever, but they're actually of the devil." So this amazing discernment. And then also the tongues and the interpretation of tongues, that's two more. So there was, in a given service, there always, if somebody had the gift of tongues, there had to be somebody who had the gift of interpretation to be able to say what had been said in this other language. And then lastly is the gift of the apostle itself. That's listed as one of the gifts too in Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12. So those are the seven sign gifts. And then there's 13 gifts that we as Christians received one or more of when we got saved. And it's our responsibility to find out what those are and put them to use. Which gift did God give me? If you don't know, you need to find out so that you can put it to use. Because God gave it to you to be used, not to bury, as we read in the parable, not to bury in the earth and wait for Jesus to come back, but to put it to use. He wants usury on his investment in you. And he gave you gifts to serve him. So which one do you have, or which ones do you have? You need to find out. But we see here, back to Matthew or Hebrews 2, where we'll close tonight, that God gave these miracles to confirm, as it says there, verse 3, and was confirmed unto us by who? Them that heard him. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And as we read in Mark 16, confirming the word with signs following. So confirming the word, that's the key to the whole thing, is the word of God was confirmed. So how do we know that they're not around anymore? Well, I think, first of all, it's kind of obvious. If they were, it would be obvious. If somebody had the true gift of healing, it would be obvious. If somebody had the gift of tongues, it would be obvious. When somebody tells me they have the gift of tongues, I just say, "Praise God, what are you doing in New Zealand? You need to go to some other country and start preaching the gospel in their language. You don't need to go to language school. You need to go put that gift to use and win people to Christ." Amen. Somebody says they have to get the healing, I said, "Great. Why are you standing here? Get up to the Children's Hospital in Auckland and empty it." And by the way, that would make national news, would it not? Those kids, we wish they didn't have cancer, or we wish they weren't dying. Go heal them all. And if somebody had the gift of healing, they could, by the way. There were no limits. And we could go on and on. What was the purpose? We'll finish with one last scripture, 1 Corinthians 13. The purpose was to confirm the word. To confirm the word. Well, why do we not need them anymore? We know because the word is finished. How do we know that? Because we're told so in Revelation 22 that if we take away or add to the word of God, God's going to punish us. So the word is complete, which means the word doesn't need confirmed anymore, because no longer do people get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," unless they're reading out of this. Amen? If they get up and say, "God gave me a prophecy," then the Bible says we need to mark them as a false prophet. Because the Bible's finished. Notice 1 Corinthians 13, talking about the gifts in chapter 12. And then he goes on and saying, if you have gifts but you don't have charity, they're a waste. We all know the passage. But after he says all that, he says in verse 8, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." I think, personally, that's talking about supernatural knowledge, this discernment of spirits and so forth. "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now you can argue that that which is perfect is Jesus, but it doesn't fit the context. The context is that that which is perfect is this. That when that which is perfect, and remember when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, the Bible wasn't finished. But he says, when it is finished, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part, these gifts that he specifically mentions here, will be done away. And by the way, at the end of Paul's ministry, his gifts even began to fade before he died. We read about how he left someone at Miletus sick. That had never happened to Paul before, where he left someone sick. He even on that island, remember? The chief of the island had a sick son, and he healed him, and then all of a sudden they treated him and Silas as gods. Everywhere he went, he just healed. Peter did the same thing. But toward the end of his ministry, he says there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Trophus have I left Miletus sick. And then he told Timothy, drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Why didn't he just heal Timothy's stomach problem? Well, I think because even before Paul died, the Bible was finishing and the gifts were fading because they weren't needed anymore. The confirmation was no longer required. So God made this clear to us. Them that heard him, that's one of the keys. So it's a specific group of people. And it says, what was the purpose? Confirmed. To confirm the word, to confirm the witness with these miraculous sign gifts that God gave for a specific purpose at a specific time. To confirm the word. Amen. Let's